Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we study God's promise of a heavenly king. Here's Paul Chappell.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the prophecies of Isaiah, and we pray this morning that you would cause us to understand and to grow through the passage of Scripture that we have just read. And we ask you, Lord, to touch hearts and change lives even this morning, for we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 gives each of us promises which literally transcend throughout the ages. Isaiah chapter 9 finds for us and gives to us truth that refers to the time before Christ. It refers to the advent of Christ in His first coming. And then it refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ, all in the same chapter. This single chapter really gives a panorama of time and really helps us to understand some of the great truth related to Jesus Christ. For example, in the early verses of the chapter, verse 1, we read of the towns of Zebulun and Naphtali, which were really Old Testament cities, which later became Nazareth and Capernaum. The prophecy of Isaiah 9 specifically relates to the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this chapter depicts for us also the nation of Israel waiting for a great light. This chapter depicts for us the nation of Israel waiting for a child, waiting for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And what a great thought to know that long before Christ ever came, God sent His prophets to His people prophesying that Jesus Christ would come. And as we have seen in previous weeks, they prophesied the way that Christ would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. They prophesied the place that Christ would be born, Micah 5:2, that He would be born in Bethlehem. They prophesied the time that Christ would be born. And here this morning we see that they are sharing with us, these prophets, the very ramifications of the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. Perhaps that is why when Handel's Messiah comes to its great climax, it is the words found in these verses that he uses to describe the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And in verses 6 and 7, there are three promises which really represent for us the greatest gifts of the season. There are promises found in here that every Christian can enjoy and can rejoice in. Notice first of all, as we look at verse 6 this morning, the promise of the nativity. The promise of the nativity. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, the promise of the nativity is seen when we read the words, "Unto us a child is born." This is a promise of salvation. And the term "a child is born" is referencing to the humanity of Jesus Christ. In other words, whoever this Messiah would be, whoever this great light would be, the Bible says here that he would be called a child that is born. He was going to come in the form of a man. The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, the Word was made flesh. That's the great joy of the Christmas season. The fact that God became man, a child is born. When Isaiah was speaking of this great light, when Isaiah was prophesying of the Messiah that would come, he used the term, "Unto us a child is born." That's significant. Because God is saying that when I send my son to you, it will be in the form of a baby. It will be in the form of a man. Unto us a child is born. And so when we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7, we find the Bible saying she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We realize that when we come to the pages of Luke chapter 2, we are coming to the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah and others who said that one day a child would be born. This great light of Israel, this Messiah, would come in the form of a man. And how we thank God for that great fulfilled prophecy. The term "a child is born" references to the humanity of Jesus Christ, or to the fact that God would come in the form of a man, that He would be incarnated, take the form of flesh, and be born of Mary. But then notice in verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, the phrase "a son is given" is a reference not to the humanity of Christ, but rather to the deity of Christ. For Jesus Christ, this Messiah, was going to be and was indeed the very Son of God. When we read the words "a son is given," we are reminded of the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, John said in John 1 and verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." You see, the significance of Christ as He began His ministry was that He presented Himself as, and He was received as, the Son of God by those who put their faith in Him. when we come to Philippians chapter 2, and when we study what the theologians call the great kenosis passage, or this passage where God laid aside not his deity, but the prerogatives of his deity in taking the form of a man. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, who was this one that was made in the likeness of a man? Well, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6 tell us that he was the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was the Son of God. He was equal with God the Father in power and majesty and in his attributes. And yet this one who is equal in power and attributes to God became obedient unto the death of the cross. And so we thank God this morning that the Son of God who died upon the cross was the greatest gift ever offered to the world. He was God's gift to humanity. God says, here is my Son, deity wrapped in humanity as a gift, as an offering for the sins of the world. And we thank God for the promise of the nativity, because when we look at the baby of the manger, we are seeing there God in the flesh. And what a great truth it is seen even here in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto you a child is born. That's the humanity of Christ. Unto you a son is given, the Son of God. That is the deity of Christ. And my friend, if you're here with us this morning and you have never received Christ as your Savior, you've never come to that place where you realize that this was more than just another child. This was more than just a special child, but this was the God child. He was the God man come down to this earth. And when he died upon the cross, he was there dying as God's substitute for you. There dying as the Son of God for you and for me. If you've never seen Jesus in that light, we would encourage you this morning to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, so often during this season, we can get all of the focus wrong on what really matters and on what's really important to receive. And sometimes, of course, we see the material emphasis, and we hear that from children and even from adults. And we see folks putting their emphasis in all the wrong areas. And yet the greatest emphasis this morning needs to be placed on a right relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing him as our Savior and knowing for sure that our sins are forgiven and that heaven would be our home. I heard of a little boy recently who has been so excited about Christmas, and he's asked his parents time and time and time again for a watch. And I mean, dozens of times he's reminded them, don't forget what I want for Christmas. I want a watch. And just kind of laying those subtle hints. Have any of you heard subtle hints like that in the last few days? And he was laying those hints down so bad until finally his parents said, look, we don't want to hear one more word about wanting a watch for Christmas. That's enough. We've heard what you've said. Don't say it one more time. Sort of like some of you might have said in recent days also. And so the little boy kind of put his head down and said, well, all right. So that night his parents gathered the family around the table, and they said to their little boy, they said, all right, son, we want you to lead us in prayer now for the meal. And the boy kind of perked up a little bit. And he said, before I pray, could I read a Bible verse to the family? And his family thought, man, he's becoming spiritual. We rebuked him for his materialism. Now he's going the other way. He's becoming spiritual. And so he read Mark 13:37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Got his point in there anyways, didn't he? But you know, there is something far greater than a watch or a car or whatever it is somebody wants for Christmas, and that is a right relationship with God. Because we all know of people in this world who have everything the world has to offer, but when they put their head on the pillow at night, they have no peace because they have no salvation. They know not the Savior. And my friend, regardless of what happens in your life this week, joy in the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Thank God for the fact that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And he is the Son of God come down for you and for me. And we thank God for that promise. You see, when the Bible speaks in Luke 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And when you read in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says that regarding this Savior, it will be good tidings for all people. The news that we're talking about right now is good news for everybody. I had a fella tell me one time, he said, "I don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Ramadan." He said, "Christmas is a white man's holiday." And I've had others say, "I don't celebrate Christmas for other reasons." I want to tell you something, my friends. This is good tidings for all people. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is not just a white man's God. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus Christ died for all people, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. And if you know my Savior this morning, regardless of your background, thank Him for His love for you. Thank God that He loves for you. And don't fall for the devil's line that this is just for some people. My Bible says this is good tidings for all people. For unto you a Savior is born. And you know what all people have in common today? All of us need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is the promise of the nativity. And it is a promise of salvation. And it is the promise that we preach this morning. And we will preach until Jesus comes again, because there is no greater news than this news. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, has come to provide salvation. But we also see in these verses this morning the promise to the nations. The promise to the nations, which is a promise of hope. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, this is a promise to all the nations. The government shall be upon his shoulder. You see, as the good shepherd places the straying lamb upon his shoulder, as the good shepherd would bring that straying lamb to safety, God's word says that Jesus Christ will place the government upon his shoulder. And at the second coming, Jesus Christ will fulfill the covenant that he made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, we find what is called the Davidic covenant. And there God made a covenant with David. And he said, "David, one day I will establish your throne and your kingdom will reign forever and ever." This will be a promise given unto the Jews. And this promise to the nations is that one day when the Messiah comes, he will establish that kingdom and he will sit and rule and reign on David's throne. And this world, which has been looking for peace since the beginning of time, will find peace finally when Jesus Christ comes again. And here we see the ramifications of this verse telling us, yes, he's coming once as a baby in a manger, but he's coming a second time as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, and he will establish his kingdom forever. Jesus will establish the kingdom promised to David. And we see in Luke 1 and verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Do you see the parallel from Isaiah to Luke? The parallel simply being, God says to Isaiah, and Isaiah says to the children of Israel, one day when this Messiah comes, he will establish a kingdom. That kingdom will be the fulfillment of the prophecy given to David. And so when we read in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is very clear to reveal to us that he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. God's Holy Spirit wants us to take note of the fact that the promised Messiah in Isaiah is the one who came in the book of Luke. And we need not look for any other Messiah today, for the Messiah has already come in Bethlehem's manger, and that same Messiah will come again the second time to establish this kingdom that was not established the first time. For the Bible says, at his first advent, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But my friends, the second time, he will be received. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus will establish the kingdom promised to David. And then secondly, the kingdom will be characterized by his righteousness. The kingdom will be characterized by his righteousness. Now, would you look over in Isaiah chapter 11 just for a moment? And in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 12, we find the characteristics of this coming kingdom. We find a glimpse of what the world will be like when Jesus rules and reigns. And some of these scriptures have been used by the United Nations, as such as beating the spears into plowshares and so forth. Unfortunately, they have not been able to bring the kind of peace that Jesus will bring. And when we read here in Isaiah 11, we see what real peace is going to be like when Jesus Christ comes again. And I want you to notice specifically the Bible speaking of it in verse number 4. It says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." But you'll notice in verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. You see, what we are seeing in this passage about this coming kingdom, what we are learning about Christ as the one who will have the government upon his shoulders, is that finally righteousness and justice will prevail with Jesus Christ seated on the throne of David and ruling and reigning in this world. Sometimes we look around the world and we see what we feel to be injustices. We see things that we don't understand. We see things that seem unfair. But my friend, there has never been fairness. There has never been justice. There has never been righteousness like the world will see when Jesus Christ rules and reigns. And the Bible says that righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, or everything that he does will be right. This is the kind of a kingdom that Jesus will establish. And I think oftentimes in the day in which we live today, it seems that the majority of the Americans are more concerned about the economy than they are about right, and than they are about righteousness. And it seems as though people are saying, hey, let's not rock the boat, you know? But I want to say to you this morning that one day when the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, righteousness will prevail. One day when the government is upon his shoulders, and it's very obvious that we in this day and age don't seem to have the ability always to lead in a right way or to live in a right way. But when Jesus Christ comes, righteousness will prevail. And what a great day that will be. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. I look forward to the day when he will rule and reign in righteousness, and when this world will have for the first time a righteous leader endeavoring to lead and leading us in the ways of God. You see, the Lord Jesus, whom we exalt at Christmas time, is not just a baby in a manger. He is not a character in a children's story. He is far more than that. The first time that Jesus came, he came in the form of this child. But the next time he comes, and I believe it will be very soon, he will come unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all of the world that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will be the light. The first time he came, the wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him in the inn. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to help contain his glory. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival, some shepherds and some wise men. But the next time he comes, every eye will see him as he comes.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart, and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.